Now, it's hard to imagine anyone going through the highs and lows that Samuel Johnson has been riding in recent years. Last year, he won the Gold Logie for the most popular personality on Australian television. In the same year, though, his beloved sister Connie died of cancer. He and Connie had built up the cancer charity Love Your Sister. He has raised millions of dollars for charity, but also lost a partner to suicide. He's been so distraught that for extended periods he's been unable to work. But when he has worked, he has triumphed with what has so often seemed like almost ridiculous ease. He said that the first 20 acting roles he went for, he got. And there are very few actors who get to say that. Samuel Johnson, for The Year That Made Me, good morning.
Good morning, Hugh.
What are you working on right now?
I continue in my role as head of cancer vanquishment at Love Your Sister. Yeah, I work around the clock on this cancer conundrum here and have done for some years now.
So that still remains the complete driving force in your life?
That's all I've got left, I think. Yeah, I retired from showbiz after snagging the Gold Logie for playing Molly. I haven't looked back.
Now, was that hard to do in terms of giving up something that had been creatively such an important part of your life?
I think my new work had already taken over here. I dipped a toe back in the water as a favour for Mol, who's a family friend. It worked out well. I got my Carrie Beanie moment, if you like. It was always just going to be a revisit. I'd already turned away from the from showbiz. It wasn't at all, Hugh. It's harder and harder to get work in showbiz as well. It's probably worth noting. The industry is well and truly globalised, and I'd say if I had hung around in showbiz, I'd probably achieve no more than 40 or 50 days work a year, which isn't enough for a flibbity gibbet of the mind like me.
Yeah. So what are you doing in a day-to-day sense as you say, look to vanquish cancer?
Well, I would say half the week I'm generally on the road advocating, shaking the tin, so to speak, and the other half of the week I'm at the office working on the back end. So I'm in and out and out and about all the time. I probably do about 3 states a week. It's been like that for several years. I love travelling around this country and speaking to families and because it serves to motivate me in my work back at the office here.
And so is your goal very much fundraising so that others can take the money?
Yes, it has been to this date, and our target has always been to raise $10 million. But as I travel along this road and learn along the way, I increasingly want my job more to involve ensuring that this cure doesn't come any later than it ought. I'm sniffing around kind of every aspect of the cancer game and just trying to learn as quickly as I can.
I get the sense of this almost desperate rush, this hurry. You must meet a lot of people who are going through the cancer journey, and each one, I suppose, reinforces the need for urgency.
Yeah, and it's hard not being able to help in a more concrete way sooner. One of the frustrating elements of my job is that I can't offer much more than a hug and an optimistic future scientifically. That's one of the aspects I struggle to reconcile, I'd say.
So with the money that you have raised, and you've been phenomenal in the money that you've raised.
Thank you.
It's really, really hard to get money, to raise money out of people, to get people to part with things. There are a lot of good causes out there, and yet
you say a lot of good. Sorry to interrupt you. You say a lot of good causes. There's 54,000 registered charities in this country.
Yeah, and all of them.
It's a very competitive marketplace.
And what do you want to do with that money? Well, predominantly, where is it going? Is it almost all going into the research space?
100%. 100% of what we receive gets passed on. We spend no donations on operationals, and we pass it on with research-only guarantees, with full reporting and the right to audit. So a lot of my work involves preserving that donor dollar and making sure it means as much as it can.
And what's your sense of where the most promising prospects are in terms of of research? Is it in specific areas of specific cancers, or is it something more generalized that deals with sort of molecular understandings of cancers? Where do you think the promise lies?
I'm the least equipped person to answer that properly, Hugh, and I'd prefer not to, because I'm a retired unicyclist. I'm no scientist. There's plenty of exciting areas, I'd say, and we're trying to make sure that we invest in the right areas. And I'm the last person to be able to suggest where the answers lie. I'm sorry, Hugh. I'm too soon into this journey.
Yeah, I like to hear that you're now a retired unicyclist, because I'd imagine that. Tell us about that. You set off with a unicycle. Where did it end?
I travelled 15,000 kilometres and spent 364 days atop a one-wheeler, travelling at an average of 11.4k an hour around this country in an effort to remind every mum face-to-face to check her boobs in the shower that night.
And you raised, just by that, about $1.5 million.
Yeah, and we're up to just over seven, heading towards eight at the moment. So, we've averaged just over, slightly over $1 million a year, which is, in the scheme of things isn't much, but for us is the best we can do.
So how do you make your own living?
I do a bit of work on the public speaking circuit, and that subsidises my work at Love Your Sister. So I do a little bit of corporate speaking. I used to subsidise my work through voiceovers and through TV, but since turning away from showbiz, I've had to find another way. So, yeah, I rely on limited public speaking engagements to live.
How extraordinary. I guess we have to talk about your motivating impulse to this, and that was your sister, Connie, who was so cruelly hit with cancer so young. She was 11 years old, wasn't she, when she was first diagnosed?
Three separate cancers, one at 11, one at 22, and one at 33, and the third one got her.
Yeah. And were you always, right from the start, when she was first diagnosed, did you have at that early stage a sense that you identified what your role in life would be to try to do something with it, or to come more slowly than that?
You know what? You're one of very few who have asked, and I'm pleased to be able to tell you that I first had the idea of unicycling to help repay, at the time, the Australian Teenage Cancer Patient Society, better known as Canteen. Canteen really helped me and my sister when we were kids through my sister's childhood battle with cancer. And on the way back from one of these canteen camps, as a 12-year-old, I asked one of the leaders if I could unicycle from my school on the peninsula 100 kilometres into Melbourne to help repay them for the help they'd given our family. And at the age of 12, I was told insurance would be an issue, and perhaps later on, perhaps when I was older. And and I came good on it. My dad brought me up to always try and give back more than you get. I suppose I was marked from a fairly early age for this kind of stuff, mate.
My Lord, you've certainly done that. You say the year that made you was 2017. It was, of course, the year of the Gold Logie, but also the year that you lost your sister.
Yeah, and I dare say that the year that made us should always be the year most recent. I turned 40. I gave away a 25-year-long career. I committed fully to a new way of life, and I managed to break my annual fundraising record in my sixth year, which meant a bit to me personally. And then just to be able to be considered for honours on Australia Day alongside the likes of Magda Sabansky was amazing. So it was really the year for me that where all of my worlds collided, my showbiz career, my community endeavours, and my personal life all kind of beautifully kind of conjoined last year, and to provide a vivid experience in a year that I'll probably never fully comprehend.
Absolutely. One imagines not. Your song is Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
Why this song?
A lot of my walls came down in 2017 here. This is a song about walls coming down. Kings of Leon are a great band, and I suppose this song speaks of my year personally, at least.
All right. Well, Samuel Johnson, you are extraordinary in what you do. Your focus on this and what you do is just inspiring. We're in your debt as well as in awe of you. Here are the Kings of Leon with Walls. Mellow mood, the Kings of Leon with Walls, the song chosen by Samuel Johnson for the year that made me, 2017, the year he lost his sister, won a gold Logie, as he goes in the process of raising $10 million for cancer to honour his late sister, Connie, an amazing man.